So we are holding on Cortes Amadei's first line of the wide lines. The set of the mission of Mishchara Beis Mikdash Hiskim Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai Chola, that said that while the Beis Mikdash was standing, the rule was that on Shabbos you blow shofar, on Rosh Hashanah that comes out on Shabbos, you blow shofar only in the Mikdash, which was said according to Rashi and Tosfos mean only the Beis Mikdash, and according to the Rambam it means the whole Yerushalayim. And after the Churban, we said Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai made a takana that you blow shofar anywhere where there's a Beis Din. For example, in Yavne, or another place where we have Rav Elazar saying only in Yavne, and the Chacham saying anywhere where there's a Beis Din. So Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Pamachas Chal Rosh Hashanah Lias V'Shabbos, one time it happened after the Churban, that Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, V'hoyu Kol Ha'orim Niskansin, and all the people from all the cities are gathering in Yavne. Not because they know yet that the shofar is going to be blown over there, because that's going to be the discussion right now, but they're gathering there with Hashkos in order to join the Chacham there for Yom Tov davening. Omer lahem Rav Yechon ben Zakkai lebnei v'seira. So Rav Yechon ben Zakkai asked the Bnei V'Seira. Now, we have the Bnei V'Seira from 100 years earlier. They were the ones who were the heads of the Sanhedrin in Hillel's time. And they were the ones that Hillel discussed with the question, debated the question with, about whether you can bring a Korban Pesach when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos. So now, 100 years later, you also have the Bnei V'Seira are still very distinguished from him. And they're not the heads of the Sanhedrin anymore, but they're still very distinguished Chachamim, and therefore Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai is going to consult with them. So he asked them, Nitka, should we blow shofar? It is Shabbos, on the other hand, should we consider Yavne like Yerushalayim in that regard, and say that we blow shofar here just like we used to in the Beis Hamikdash? Amruloi, so they said to him, Nodun, you're right, we have to discuss this. Should we be Gozer? After all, the point why we don't take on Shabbos normally is, we just said yesterday, Gzeira de Rabba, which, by the way, let's remember, of course, Rabba lived a couple hundred years later, but he's not the first one to come up with this Gzeira, he's just the one in whose name the Gemara quotes it. The Gzeira, of course, goes back long before him. So after all, we have the Gzeira Shemi Yavirenu, that you might carry it in Rosh Hashanah. Do we have to be Gozer that in a place where there's a Beis Din or not? So he said to them, Nitka v'achakach nodin, let's blow a shofar, and then we'll sit and discuss and figure it out. La'acha shetofu, so after they blew shofar, omer lo nodin, so they said, okay, now we have to discuss whether what we did was right. Omalahem, so he tells them, k'var nishmar keren v'yavne, the horn, meaning the shofar, has already been heard in Yavne, v'ein v'shivim la'acha maise. We don't second guess it after the fact. In other words, Rashi says it would be a gnai, it would be a shameful thing for ourselves to have to be motzi lan and say that we made a mistake. So once it's already been established, a precedent, that we blow shofar, then let's just leave it that way. And that's how it became, that's how the precedent was established, that this is the one of the takonas of Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai, therefore, that we blow shofar in Yavne, or according to the Chachamim, not just Yavne, but any place where there was a Beis Din. It sounds almost like a manipulative thing of him to do, like that, to where he's asking them, but then he's telling them, let's just go ahead and do it, and then afterwards he says, I don't really need your opinion. There is actually, the Chidah has an explanation about it, in connection with a different Gemara in Erevin, that talks about with things Drabbanan, that you can, with things Daraisa, you have to first figure out whether what you're doing is right or wrong before you do it. With things Drabbanan, sometimes we say you can do it and then afterwards ask. So over here, we don't even have that they're asking. And he brings a couple of possible reasons why. One of them is from the Sefer Yom Tshua, that says over here, after all, the B'nai B'Seira themselves weren't saying, for sure we can't do it. They themselves were questioning, should we or should we not? On the one hand, it's Shabbos. On the other hand, it's a place where there's a Beis Din, and a place where there's a Beis Din. On the face of it, there's less of a need to make a Gzeira Shemi Yavirenu, because Beis Din will watch them. So therefore, so he says that being a Dirabanan, then we can go ahead and do it, and as far as your Suffolk, let's not worry about your Suffolk anymore. We said in the Mishnah, Amr Rabbi Elazar lahiskin Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai el v'yavne bovad. So Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai, according to Rabbi Elazar, made the takana only in Yavne. You're allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah shechal lias for Shabbos. Nowhere else. Amru loy, the Chacham answered him, Echad Yavne ve'echad kamokam sheyesh be'beis din. Doesn't matter, Yavne or any other place that has a Beis Din, the rules are all the same. So we want to ask, Amru loy, hanu tana tama. The Omru Loi are saying the same thing as the Tanakhama. Why do we need that part of the discussion? Once we have, okay, Rav Elazar says what he says, we know already that the Chacham said every place where there's a Beis Din, why are they repeating it? The answer is there is actually a different group of Chachamim, Ikebegayo Beis Din Adach Loi. The argument between the first Chachamim, the Tanakhama, that is, and the second group of Chachamim who are answering Rav Elazar would be, what if you only have an ad hoc Beis Din? What if you only have a Beis Din that's in a place temporarily? So the Tanakhama will say, well, there's a Beis Din there. That's good enough reason to blow on Shabbos. Whereas the Chachamim who are arguing with Rav Elazar will say only when it's similar to Yavne, namely in Yavne, the Sanhedrin was actually headquartered over there. So therefore, it would have to be a place where Beis Din is actually headquartered, where they have a permanent location, or as permanent as things are going to be, not where they're just in a place for a couple of days or something. Okay. The Rambam actually in Pirush HaMishnayos seems to understand the other way around. He says just the opposite. The first Tana wouldn't allow it in a Beis Din Dakroi. The second one would. We have a general rule that whenever you have that cold Tana with Tafuyi, that whenever you have a later Tana in the Mishnah that's coming that seemingly repeats what the Tana said in the Mishnah before, he's coming to add something to before. So in that case, then the first Tana would be telling us that only a permanent Beis Din, and the second one would be saying even a temporary Beis Din. Okay. Amru Loi, we said in the Mishnah, they said to him, Echad Yavne ve'echad kamakam sheyesh be'Beis Din. Doesn't matter whether Yavne or any other place that has a Beis Din, the Chachamim are saying you can blow a shofar. By the way, we mentioned yesterday that Amram says we mean Yavka Beis Din of Smuchim, only if they have Smicha Ish v'Piyish, which is why we don't have this concept of blowing a shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos anymore, because we don't have any smuchim nowadays. Anyway, Omer Rav Huna ve'im Beis Din. Rav Huna says it also has to be with Beis Din that we can blow shofar. So we have to figure out what that means. My ve'im Beis Din means b'fnei Beis Din. Means it has to be in the presence of Beis Din. La puki shaloi b'fnei Beis Din deloi. So not if it's not in the presence of Beis Din. Mosiv Rava. So Rava says, what do you mean though? Let's look at our Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, "Va'oid zois hoisi Yerushalayim yisayir al Yavne." The Mishnah had said, also, this was another advantage that Yerushalayim had over Yavne. Namely, we said that any place that's near Yerushalayim, that can see Yerushalayim and hear, and so on and so forth, as we'll see further down the Amud, is able to blow shofar on Shabbos. So now, let's figure out, "My va'oid zois." What does the Mishnah mean when it says, also this? Does it just mean exactly what it says? And we started by saying, so Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai made a takana that you blow in every place where there's a Beis Din. And then we said, and also another advantage Yerushalayim had over Yavne. What's the also? There's no also there. We didn't mention anything previously. So Zois mi bari lei. So the Mishnah, he should have used the expression Zois Yerushalayim. He said, Yavne. The Va'oid implies that there's something missing in the Mishnah. Evidently, it must be that in Yerushalayim, that in Yerushalayim, even individuals are able to blow on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos. Over Yavne ain't token Yechidin, and you're going to say in Yavne, then you can't. Only in front of only Shluchei Beis Din can blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos in Yavne. But that can't be. When Rav Yitzchak by Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, you should know, back when the Sanhedrin was in Yavne, when the Chazan would finish, or not the Chazan, the Baal Tekeah, when he would finish the Tekeah in Yavne, nobody could hear the sound of his own ears, meaning the sound of his own voice, because of the noise, of all the Yechidim who are blowing shofar. In other words, so in Yavne, it wasn't just that the Shluchei Beis Din are blowing shofar. Every person in town is blowing shofar, and it was so noisy, it was so deafening that you couldn't even hear yourself. So we see that the Yechidim in Yavne are also blowing shofar. So obviously it can't be that the advantage that Yerushalayim had is that Yechidim could blow in Yerushalayim and Yechidim can't blow in Yavne, because based on what Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef is telling us, individuals blew in Yavne as well. Ela lav, so must it not be that what the Mishnah is implying, that there was an advantage that Yerushalayim had over Yavne, and here's another advantage, is the Yerushalayim token Ben Bizman based in or Ben Shaloi Bizman based in. That in Yerushalayim they can blow shofar whether based in is in session right now or not. Or be Yavne Bizman based in Ein Shaloi Bizman based in Loi. But in Yavne, they can only blow shofar as long as Beis Din is in session. Rashi explains that usually Beis Din is in session, usually Beis Din sits only until 6 hours into the day. So until Chatzos. So in other words, we would be saying, in Yerushalayim, they're able to blow shofar the entire day. In Yavne, they're only able to blow shofar, until Chatzos. Well, Hob is man based in Mia Token, Vafila Shalajifne based in. Well, then the implication would be that during those 6 hours of the day, anybody could blow shofar in Yavne, even if they're not in front of Basedin. So what is Rav Huna saying? In Basedin, implying that you have to blow shofar in front of Basedin. And the Gemara says, well, not necessarily is that what the Mishnah is implying. It means the Ila B'Yerushalayim token Ben Bifne Basedin, Ben Shaloi Bifne Basedin. The Mishnah could mean just that distinction. In Yerushalayim, they could blow shofar on Shabbos, even whether in front of Beis Din or whether not. Or be Yavne, but they're based in Angel, or they're based in Loi, but in Yavne, only in front of Beis Din. So that would be exactly what Rav Huna is saying, that they can only blow in Beis Din. So now, what this business Tosfos says in that case, that nobody could hear themselves because of the noise of all the shofars, it means that you'd have people would come, according to this explanation, they would be coming and blowing in front of Beis Din. Now, why would they be doing that? Because they didn't hear Beis Din Tkia. Now, Tosfos points out, if they were already Yotze, then they have no business coming and blowing shofar, because just to blow shofar for nothing on Shabbos, there would be an Issur Shavus on that. But we're talking about, so these are people who didn't hear the Beis Din's blowing shofar, now they want to come and hear shofar, so therefore they come and blow in front of Beis Din, and the noise of everybody blowing shofar is so loud that you can't hear yourself. This, by the way, that Tosfos is saying that there's an Issur Shavus to blow for nothing on Shabbos. Now, this doesn't now, nowadays we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, period. But it applies on Yom Tov as well, that we don't blow, that in Shulchan Aruch it brings, you don't blow shofar for nothing. If you're going to be blowing shofar, it has to be for a purpose. So we have the various groups of Tkiyas, Tkiyas Miyoshev, Tkiyas Ma'omad, the ones after, the 30 that we blow at the end. All of those have a purpose. All of those are a minhag, and all of those have valid purposes. And of course, later on in the day, if you're going on with the shofar. But, other than that, to just pick up the shofar and blow it, stand for the fun of it, you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov either. That's the same shavus that Tosfos is mentioning. So we've reconciled what Rav Huna is saying with the Mishnah, that the Mishnah can well be implying that in Yavne you can only blow shofar on Shabbos in front of Beis Din, and that's what he means in Beis Din. The Gemara says, Ika demasni lahod Rav Huna aha. Now there are those who learn that what the statement of Rav Huna is actually referring to a different thing, not to the Tkiyah on Rosh Hashanah, but rather to the Tkiyah on Yom Kippur of Yovel, which we talked about a few times, that on Yom Kippur of Yovel, there's a mitzvah ta'aviru shofar b'chol ha'aretzchem. So dichtiv, the pasuk says, v'yem ha'kippurim ta'aviru shofar b'chol ha'aretzchem, on Yom Kippur, you have to blow shofar throughout your land. Melamed, from this we learn, shekol yochid v'yochid chayav l'tkoya, that every yochid, that every individual has a mitzvah to blow shofar on Yom Kippur. Now, there is a bit of discussion among some of the Achronim. Does that mean that you actually have to blow shofar on Yom Kippur of Yovel, unlike on Rosh Hashanah, where the mitzvah is not so much to blow, but rather to hear? Or is it really that we're saying the same thing as Rosh Hashanah, you only have a mitzvah to blow, you only have a mitzvah to hear, you don't really have a mitzvah to blow, and we're just using the word litkoya in the same way as we're using it on Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, so on that, Amar Rav Huna v'im Beis Din. So now, according to the second version, Rav Huna is saying that the blowing of shofar on Yovel is v'im Beis Din. Now, necessarily, that can't mean in front of Beis Din, because we know for a fact that that's not true. The Torah tells us b'chol aretzchem, that you blow shofar on Yom Kippur of Yovel throughout the whole land, whether there's a Beis Din there or not. Necessarily, therefore, his be'im Beis Din in the second version has to be only when Beis Din is in session. So, my be'im Beis Din is man Beis Din. So, it would mean only when Beis Din is in session, again, only during the first 6 hours of the day. La Pukish, Loi is man Beis Din, the Loi. So, Rav Huna would be telling us that Yom Kippur of Yovel, the tekiah does not take place after Beis Din has already stood up for the day. Masiv Rava, but Rava says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, tekiah Rosh Hashanah v'yovel doiches haShabbos d'gvurim ishul beisay. The tekiah of Rosh Hashanah and Yovel, okay, Agoras Agra takes out Rosh Hashanah, but anyway, the tekiah of Yovel definitely, doiches haShabbos d'gvurim ishul beisay. If Doicha Shabbos in the Gvulin, meaning everywhere in the country or everywhere in the world, a person and his household. Now, usually, Ishu Besen means a man, means a husband and wife. So, my Ishu Besen. So, what do we mean? What do we mean a man and his household? Ilema Ish fi Ishto. Do we mean that the husband and the wife are Chayev and Tkiah Shofar? Why would she be Chayev? It's a Mima Chayva. Is a woman Chayev and Tkiah Shofar? Well, Mitzvah Esther Shazman Gromahi. Is it Tkiah Shofar, Mitzvah Esther Shazman Groma, B'chol Mitzvah Esther Shazman Groma Noshim Pturis, and women are potter from such mitzvahs, as we talked about yesterday, the question about whether they can make a bracha on it. But in any case, definitely women are potter from Tkiah Shofar, so there's no reason the Braisa should be saying that a man and his household, meaning a man and his wife, are chayiv in Tkiah Shofar. Ela lav ish bivesay. Evidently, the Braisa means to say not a man and his household, but a man in his house, but a man in his house. In other words, at home, he's chayev to blow shofar, implying v'afilu shalov is non-basedin. The pashtos, that means even when basedin is not in session. So that means not like Rav Huna, who says that that only when basedin is in session. Answer is loy, blowim is non-basedin. No, we can mean each person has the chiyuv to blow at home, but it has to be during the 6 hours of the day when basedin is in session and not after that. Okay, the Gemara asks most of Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes says, I have a contradiction. We learned previously in the Mishnah, and here we have a Braisa that expands on it. Shava ha-yovel Rosh Hashanah l'tkiyah v'l'brachas. Yovel, Yom Kippur of Yovel, is the same as Rosh Hashanah as far as the tkiyah, that you have the same sequence of tkiyah through a tkiyah three times. And as far as the brachas, meaning that you say the three brachas, the extra three brachas, and Shemana Esrei, Malchus, Sechronis, and Shofaris. Ella, but there is a difference. Shabbat Yovel token bein bebeis in shkid shabbos achodesh or bein bebeis in shloi kid shabbos achodesh. On Yovel, the tkiyah takes place whether in a beis din that was mekadesh the chodesh, the actual the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim or Yavne or wherever they are at the time, and also in a beis din where they didn't blow, where they weren't mekadesh the chodesh. The pashtus, because after all, it's Yom Kippur. It has nothing to do with kiddush achodesh, so there's no reason to restrict it to one kind of beis din. B'chol yochid v'yochid chayev l'tkoya, and furthermore, Yom Kippur of Yovel, every yochid has to blow shofar, or has to hear shofar, as the case may be. Or Rosh Hashanah, why are you taking another beis din shekid shabbos achodesh? Rosh Hashanah, on the other hand, they only blew shofar only in a beis din where they were mekadesh the chodesh, so only in the central beis din. The ain kol yochid v'yochid chayev l'tkoya, and every individual is not tekeya. Does not blow shofar. Now, let's figure out what that braisa means and see if it fits with what we said, that Yovel is only being blown bizman basin. My ain kol yochid v'yochid chayev l'tkoya. What do we mean? That on Rosh Hashanah, we don't have that every individual on Rosh Hashanah, shechali is b'shabbos, that is, that every individual is not chayev to hear shofar. What do we mean by that? Do you mean that on Yovel every person blows shofar, all the individuals, but on Rosh Hashanah not, only Beis Din blows? But we know that not, like we said before, when Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael, he told us, when the Baal Tekeah would finish blowing shofar in Yavne, and everybody else would then take out their shofars and blow, nobody could hear their own voice because of the sound of the Yechidim who were blowing. So we see that on Rosh Hashanah, Shechalias, B'Shabbos, also Yechidim are blowing. So what do we mean that there's a distinction between Yovel and Rosh Hashanah? It can't be that distinct. When we say Ein Kol Yochid V'Yochid Chayev L'Tkoya, it can't mean as it sounds like that the Yechidim don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, because we see from this report that they did. Ela Lav, it must be the either Yovel token Vein Bezman Beistin, Vein Shloi Bezman Beistin. It must mean that in Yovel we blow shofar whether Beistin is in session or not. But Rosh Hashanah is man based in angel and is man based in light. Whereas Rosh Hashanah, like we established before, we do it only while based in is in session. So we see then, so how does that fit with Rav Huna's, with the second lashon in what Rav Huna is saying, that he's referring to Yovel and saying that they blow shofar only when Beis Din is in session. Based on this braisa, it sounds like not. And the answer is loy, not necessarily is that what the braisa means, the distinction. Lo'olam bizman Beis Din. We could be talking about both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the tkiyas take place only while Beis Din is in session. And by the way, a logical reason for that would be, after Beis Din has gone home for the day, we may have, again, after all, the Zeder Dedaba. People may carry the shofar in order to learn how to blow it, in order to hear a chacham blow it for them. While Beis Din is in session, then Beis Din is going to keep an eye on things and make sure that people don't do that. So we could say that both of them are Bizman Beis Din, but Hochi Katoni, so the Braisa would mean, but Yovo, Bizman Beis Din, Token, Bein Mifnei Beis Din, Bein Shalei Mifnei Beis Din. On Yom Kippur of Yovo, we blow shofar during, it's limited in time of day to the 6 hours when Beis Din is sitting, but then during those 6 hours, we can blow Mifnei Beis Din, Shalei Mifnei Beis Din. But Rosh Hashanah, on the other hand, the distinction would be Turkin Bizman Beis Din, Ubifnei Beis Din. On Rosh Hashanah, we'd be saying you need both. It needs to be when Beis Din is sitting, and it has to be in front of Beis Din. So fine, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda's report about all the individuals blowing, like we said, was they would come to the Beis Din Shtibel, would blow over there to be Yotze for themselves after, because they missed Beis Din. Yes. Okay. So that still fits with what Rav Huna is saying, that Yom Kippur of Yovel, you only blow Bizman Beis Din. So the difference is that Yovel, you can blow Bizman Beis Din anywhere, and Rosh Hashanah, we'd be saying only Bizman Beis Din, and only as in the first Lashon in front of Beis Din. Tosfos points out then, when we said before that you blow Ish B'Vesoy, so he would say that Ish B'Vesoy is referring to Yovel, not Rosh Hashanah. Because as we're saying now, on Yovel you blow shofar at home as well. Only on Rosh Hashanah do you have to blow shofar in the Beis Din Shtibel. So Itmar Nami, in fact, it was said also to clarify this, Omer of Chia Bagam, the Omer of Yesi Ben Shol, Omer Rebbe, Ein Token Ela Kol's Mantra Beis Din Yoshvin, you only blow shofar on, as long as Beis Din is sitting. So Rashi says this refers to Yom Kippur of Yovel. Tosfos points out it really refers to Rosh Hashanah as well. Because again, we said both of them are limited to the time when Beis Din is sitting. So that's the distinction then. So both of them you can only do as long as Beis Din is sitting, and Rosh Hashanah it has to actually be in front of Beis Din, and Yom Kippur it can be anywhere. Fine. Boy Rav Zeira. So now Rav Zeira asks the question. We're talking this whole time about Beis Din sitting. Now obviously that means once they got up and left, we can't blow anymore. But what about Nina Aru Lamoid Veloy Omdu? What about if they're getting ready to get up? Nina Aru literally means they shook themselves, so like they're starting to get up, but they haven't yet got up yet. Mavu, what would be the din? Beis Din Yoshin Ve'inin Rahoyinka. Do we say the Beis Din still have to be sitting and they're still, and we can still consider that they're sitting? Or Joma Zman Beis Din Ve'inin Valeka. Or maybe it needs to be during the time when Beis Din is sitting. When they do this, Nina Rulamoid is going to be after the 6 hours are over, after Chatzor says come. So now it's already out of the time, Valeka, and we don't have. Well, it says Teiku. Nonetheless, the Rambam paskins that we can be makel and that taker, and they can blow shofar even when Beis Din is Nina Rulamo. The Pashtus, the reason is because since the whole reason why not to blow shofar on Shabbos is Zeder Dinabanan and Zeder Dinaba, then therefore we can be makel on this taker. So therefore we can blow shofar even while Nina, even while they shook themselves and are starting to get up. We said in the Mishnah, we said there was another advantage that Yerushalayim had over Yavna. So now we understand the Oidzois means there was an implicit one that we didn't specify in the Mishnah. Namely, we said just now in the Gemara that in Yerushalayim they could blow also not Bifnei Beis Din. In Yavna, on Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos, they're blowing only in front of Beis Din. So now, additionally, the Mishnah had said, there's another advantage that Yerushalayim has, namely that any city, we said that any city that's roya, v'shemas, ukroiva v'yechoyla lovay, they can see, they can hear, they're nearby, and they're able to come. So then they're able to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias for Shabbos as well. So what do we mean? What do all those four expressions mean? So roya means krat v'yesheves benachal. When we say roya, we mean not a city that's down in a valley near Yerushalayim, where therefore, even though they may be physically close to Yerushalayim, they can't actually see because the walls of the valley block them from seeing the city of Yerushalayim. So then they don't have this dispensation to blow shofar on Shabbos. Shemas, the hears, means krafi, a shevis. But Shahar is vice versa. If you have a city at the top of a mountain near Yerushalayim, they might be able to see Yerushalayim, but they're not going to be able to hear because they're too high up. Kroiva means krafi, a shevis. The word kroiva means as opposed to if they're outside the tchum. So even they're able to see and they're able to hear, but if they're outside the tchum, even bakashkus, if they make an eid of tchumen, they still can't blow shofar on Shabbos. And when we say that they're able to come, it means not if there's a river in between. There's no rivers in that part of the world, whatever, but we mean like streams. If there's a stream of water between them and Yerushalayim, then they're not able to cross it to get to Yerushalayim, then they still don't have this dispensation. Actually, if you learned in Yuma that La'osid Lava, there's going to be a mighty river that comes out, the tiny little stream that comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then eventually becomes a gigantic, mighty river. Actually, we referred to it briefly also in Ar Masechta and Daf of Gimel. So maybe we're talking about also La'osid Lava, when there's that river coming forth from Yerushalayim. After all, when the Beis Mikdash is built, we're again going to be able to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos, at least in the Beis Mikdash, if not in the city of Yerushalayim. And then, if you have a city that's on the other side of this river from Yerushalayim, then they're not going to be able to blow shofar there on Shabbos. Okay. Since we're talking about Takana of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai regarding a Yom Tov, so the Mishnah also tells us, so now the Mishnah is going to talk about a couple of other Takanas of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Eventually, in the Gemara, on Daf Lamed Aleph, we're going to talk about altogether all the Takanas of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. But right now, the Mishnah says, we learned this Mishnah and the Gemara on it almost word for word in Masechta Sukkah as well. Originally, the lulav was taken for all 7 days of Sukkot in the Mikdash, because it says, if smachtem lefnei Hashem alekechem shivat yamim, or v'medina yomechad, everywhere else only 1 day. And here you have the same machloikas between the Rambam versus Rashi and Tosfos. Do we mean Yerushalayim? Do we mean the Beis Mikdash versus the rest of Yerushalayim and the rest of the country, or do we mean Yerushalayim versus the rest of the country and the rest of the world? Anyway, so originally they had 7 days there and 1 day everywhere else. Mishachora Beis Mikdash, after the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai she had lulav nitzel b'mikdash b'medina shiva zeichel mikdash. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai made a takana that the lulav should be taken for all 7 days in the Medina, everywhere else in the world, as a zeichel for the Beis Mikdash. And also another takana of his, v'shiyeheyem henef kulay osur, that the day on which in the time of the Beis Mikdash they waved the korban ha'omer, meaning the second day of Pesach, chodosh should be also that entire day. As we'll see in the Gemara, what the purpose of that takana was. So the Gemara starts off, Ominolon da'abdin and zecher b'mikdash. How do we know that you have to make a zecher for the Beis Mikdash? That we should say that you take lulav for 7 days in order to do that. So da'amar krov, because the pasuk says ki a'ala arucha loch, because Hashem says, Hashem is promising through the Navi that now you're shalayim, you're destroyed, you're abandoned, nobody cares about you, etc. But Hashem says, ki ala arucha loch, I will bring up healing for you, and I will heal you of your wounds, says Hashem, ki nidacha karu loch, because now they call you the abandoned one, the forsaken one. See and he, Dirdish Ain Law, she is Sia, and nobody looks out for her, nobody thinks to remember her. Therefore, that means, Mikhlal, the Boya Dirisha, that means we have to make sure to remember and to speak and to look out for Sia and for Yerushalayim, not to forget her, and therefore that means that we need to make a Zeich of the Mikdash. It's brought in a few places also that, in particular, so why do we make the Zeicher with the Dalad Minim more than with any other mitzvah? The reason is it's merumas in the fact that the word a'ala, ki a'ala al-ruch aloch, is Rosh HaTevis, esrig Esrig Arova Lulav Hadas. So it's actually a Rosh HaKevis for the four minim, and that's a basis to say that Dafka with the four minim we make such a Zeka. Okay. We said in the mission of Yeheya and Henef Kuloy Osir that Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai also made a takana that the day of waving, meaning the second day of Pesach, the whole day it should be also to eat Chodosh. By the way, we should remember that there is a machloikas at Poskim whether Chodosh applies to grain grown outside Eretz Yisrael, grown, especially when it's grown by Goyim. The Bach in particular, as we know, holds that Chodosh does not apply to that. We hold most Hasidim hold by that, and therefore including Lubavitch, and that's why outside Eretz Yisrael we're not careful about Chodosh, because there's a vast majority of grain grown outside Eretz Yisrael is grown by Goyim. In Eretz Yisrael, or if you have a farm that's run by a Jew, then you have to be more careful. So my time. That's the Gemara says. Why would Yom Hen? Why did Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai make this takana? Because Mehera Yibana Beis Mikdash. Because we know soon the Beis Mikdash is going to be built. The Yomu. So what's going to now? We have like this. When there is a Korban Omer, then when does Chodosh become Mutter? Only after the Korban Omer is brought. So Mehera Yibana. So now on the face of it, the Gemara is assuming, in other words, that as when there's no Beis Hamikdash, midaraisa, you should be able to eat Chodosh as soon as the sun rises on the morning of the 16th. It's called Heir Mizrach Matzur, as the Gemara is going to call it. So Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai Takana is like this. Meheri Yibana Beis Hamikdash, very soon the Beis Hamikdash is going to be built. The Yomru, people are going to think to themselves, Eshtakad Milo Yachalne Bahoyim Mizrach. Didn't we last year eat Chodosh as soon as it was light in the sky, as soon as there was Netzachama on the morning of the 16th? Hashda Namine, Achshav Naminechol. Now we'll eat as well. They're not going to realize, obviously they know the Beis Mikdash is going to be built. They're not going to realize that makes a change in the halacha. V'loyadi, deshtakad loyhava oimer. They're not going to realize the distinction. Last year there was no Korban oimer. Therefore, Heir Mizrach Matir. So as soon as it got light, as soon as the sun rose in the east, then it was mutter. Hashid, Ikka Omer, Omer Matthew. They're not going to realize the distinction that now that there's a Korban Omer, that it's the Korban Omer that makes Chodosh mutter. So in order to avoid that, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai made this takana of his that the whole day is usur. Well, the question is, why should the whole day have to be usur? Dimivni Amos. When are we talking about that the Beis Mikdash might hypothetically be rebuilt? We know it's going to be rebuilt. When are we thinking that it might be built in such a way that we have to make a Gzeira on the whole day? Ilema de Ivni Beshitzar. Are you talking about suppose the Beis Mikdash gets built on the 16th of Nisan or any later than that? So you don't need Hare Heir Mizrach Hitzu. As soon as it got light, as soon as it was Netzachama on the 16th, then already it was Mutter. The fact that later in the day they build the Beis Mikdash and bring the Korban Omer doesn't change that. So are we talking about that the Beis Mikdash might be built on the 15th of Nisan? And then that way there would be enough time to, any earlier, and then there would be time enough to harvest the Omer on the night after that and go and do all the preparation for it and bring it on the morning of the 16th. Well, Mechatzai Sayyim Alahalam Mishkari. So why is it also the whole day? It should be Mutter after Chatzai Sayyim on the 16th. In fact, we learn in a Mishnah in Menachos. People who are far away from Yerushalayim and they don't know exactly when the Korban Omer was brought, they are allowed to eat Chodosh from Chatzoy Sayyim onward, Lafisha in Beis Din Mitzatzim Boy, because they know that Beis Din is not going to be lazy about it. They know that Beis Din is going to bring the Korban Omer as soon as possible, and therefore, by Chatzoy, it's definitely going to have been brought. So what is the case that we have to be concerned that late in the day there is a Korban Omer, but it's later in the day than Chatzos, where we're saying that therefore we have to ask for the whole day. What is that scenario? So the answer is Lo Nitzrucha Di Boni B'Chameser Samach L'Shkia Tzachama. The case would be, let's say it's built on the 15th of Nisan, near, or Rashi seems to not have the word B'Chameser, Samach L'Shkia Tzachama. Well, yeah, he does. Samach L'Shkia Tzachama, the Chameser, yeah. So if it's built near Shkia Tzachama, or right before Shkia Tzachama on the 15th, Inami, the evening of the Lelia, or if it was built by night on the night between the 15th and the 16th. So what happened? Why do we say that Ein based in this Aspenbury? There's a lot of preparation that has to be done for the Korban Omer, but in the normal circumstance where they can already harvest it, and the night, as soon as Yom Tov is over, as soon as the first day Yom Tov is over, they're right away able to go and harvest it, then fine, they're able to, then they're able to be finished with it by Chatzos. But if the Beis Mikdash was only built close to Shkias HaChama, so they're not going to be going and harvesting it first thing right then, and then they have all the other preparations that they need to do. So then they're only going to be doing it later in the night. Well, then it may well happen that only until after Chatzos that they're able to bring it. And the same thing if the Beis Mikdash is built at night, the same thing. So you have a scenario over there where there is going to be a Korban HaOmer before the morning of the 16th. It's already certain that there's going to be a Korban HaOmer because the Beis Mikdash is already built. But you don't have, there's not enough time to prepare it because the Beis Mikdash was built close to Shkias HaChama or at night. And therefore, that they didn't have enough time to do the Omer as they usually would. Now, you have the question, Rashi says, how are you building the Beis Mikdash at night, and how are you building it on Yom Tov? So Rashi says the famous thing over here, which he also says in Sukkah, that the third Beis Mikdash is going to come down, Min HaShemayim, and therefore the rules, it's true, that when the Beis Mikdash is built by human beings, it can't be done on Yom Tov, and it can't be done at night. But when it comes down Min HaShemayim, then that doesn't apply. It could come down by night, and it could come down on Yom Tov, and therefore we still have to be gozer just to be on the safe side with that. The Meiri says a different word, that it might be that they have the chance to build the Beis Mikdash, and they're so eager to do it that they forget, and that, like, they overlook the halacha that you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov, and you're not allowed to do it at night, because they're so eager to build it. In any case, so that's the reason why Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai made the takana to not eat chodesh the entire day, because of this possibility. Okay, by the way, I mean, as far as the Beis Mikdash coming down in Shemayim, you have the famous thing that Rambam says about Moshiach, Bona Mikdash Ben Koimo, that he has to build the Beis Mikdash. Here you have Rashi saying it's going to come down in Shemayim. So you have the famous reconciliation of it, that the Beis Mikdash will come down in Shemayim, but the gates of it will be put up by Mashiach and by the Jewish people. And putting up the gates on a place is the equivalent of building it. In Halacha, you have that putting up gates on a building, for example, is a way of making a chazak on it, so that way it's considered our building as well. Okay. So all of that is one explanation of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai's takana. For us, by the way, in Chutz La'aretz, since we have Sfeika D'Yoma, so for us, for those who keep Chodosh, or if you're talking about grain that was grown in Eretz Yisrael, where we have to keep Chodosh with it regardless, then it's also until the end of the 7th of Nisan. Okay. Amr Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says a different explanation of Rav Yechon ben Zakkai's takana. Rav Yechon ben Zakkai, b'shitas Rav Yehuda Amr. When Rav Yechon ben Zakkai is saying that Yom Henef, Kulei Osir, he's following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that Minat Torah, when there's no Korban HaOmer, it's also the entire day of the 16th. Up until now, we were taking it for granted that it's also, or that Minat Torah, it's only also until the morning of the 16th. And Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai is extending it to the whole day. Now we're saying, Rabbi Yehuda says that no, Minat Torah, when there's no Omer, it's also the whole 16th. So that's what Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai is doing. The Omer, ad etzem hayom hazeh, ad atzmei shel yom. Rabbi Yehuda says that when the Torah says that Chodosh is also ad etzem hayom hazeh, until the etzem of this day, means until the actual day itself, the 16th, v'chasava ad v'ad v'chalal, and he holds that ad over here means inclusively, so it includes the 16th. So therefore, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai is saying, well, now that there's no Beis Mikdash, then that's what we're doing. So the Gemara says, "Umi sava lo kavasei." So does Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai in fact agree with Rabbi Yehuda? Well, Miflam poligilavei. We find in fact the other way around. It seems Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. The Tanan, namely, we just learned in the Mishnah, "Mishachar Beis Mikdash hiskin Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai sheheim henef kulei aser." And in Menachos, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, "Va'aloi min haTorah hu aser." Rabbi Yehuda says, "What do you mean a takana? It's aser min haTorah." Because of this pasuk, so we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Daraisa, it's also the whole day. So according to him, there's no takana of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. So what do we mean? Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai takana agrees with Rabbi Yehuda's shita. The answer is no. Hashem Rabbi Yehuda hu dekatoi. What happened over there is Rabbi Yehuda misunderstood what the Chachamim said. Ihu sover Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai midrabanan kama. He thought when we're saying Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai made a takana, means as usual, takana means the Rabbanan. So it means Daraisa would have been mutter. Rabbanan was saying the whole day is also. And we heard her saying, what do you mean? Daraisa, it's already also the whole day. But that's not what the Gemara means. That's not what the Mishnah means. Midaraisa comma means Rabbi Yechim and Zaka made the takana that at Daraisa level you're not allowed to eat on that day. What do you mean? He uses the word hiskin, which is a takana de Rabbanan. So the answer is my hiskin jorash for hiskin means he darshin the pasuk like the way Rabbi Huda does and made this takana. So in other words, he was telling them up until now for the last 420 years when there was a mismikdash, you were eating chadash as soon as the korban ha'omer was brought, which we said even if you're far away from your shalayim is no later than chatzaris. Now you should know things are going to be different and it's going to be also the whole day. But it is in fact according to Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, we are in fact saying that it was daraisa and not a takana for a new din d'rabbanan. The reason, by the way, why the Mishnah mentioned these two together, lulav and yom henef, Mefoshim explained that when Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai announced that she hey lulav mitzvah b'mikdash shiva, the medina shiva that you should take lulav everywhere in the world for 7 days. At the same time, he also took the opportunity to announce, and by the way, you should also know 6 months from now when it comes to Pesach. If the Bismikdash, Chas v'Shalom, has not been rebuilt, then Yom Henef is going to be completely osur. Again, according to the first explanation in the Gemara, D'Rabbanan, in case the Bismikdash was built on the evening or on the night following the 15th of Nisan. And according to the second explanation, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchok, D'Raisa, because when there's no Korban Omer, the whole day, you're also eating Kodesh. Okay. Now we're going to go back a little bit to Kiddush HaChodesh, which was the subject of the first part of our Masechta. More not so much to talk about Kiddush HaChodesh for itself, but more to talk about another Takana of Rabbi Yechim and Zach. So Mishnah says, "Barishoyna hoyim akavim edus haChodesh kol hayoyim." Originally, they would accept witnesses who saw the new moon all day, whether a regular Rosh Chodesh, whether Rosh Hashanah, doesn't matter. Pam achas nishtau ha'edim milavoy. One time the edim were late in coming. Now the usual way it would go was like this. Again, the moon is supposed to be visible. If the moon is visible the night after the 29th of Elul, so it could happen conceivably that they're able to see it before Shkia, and conceivably Basin could even be Makadish the Chodesh before Shkia. But that would be very rare. Most of the time the moon is going to be visible only after Shkia. And as we learned at the beginning of the previous Perek, you can't be Makadish the Chodesh by night. So therefore, they have to wait till the next morning. So fine, the next morning, they call in the Edim, they interrogate them, and then they declare Rosh Chodesh. So that would be one. So usually the Edim would come fairly early in the morning, or if not early in the morning, at least sometime during the morning. Let's put it that way. So sometime during the morning, the Edim would come. Usually, by the time they came, to the time of the Tomer Chavein HaAbayim, then usually the Edim will have already come. This time, the Edim did not come. And the Levim then were messed up as far as their shir, and as far as the shir shoyim, and we're going to see in the Gemara exactly what the mess up was. Tosfos discusses the possibilities over here we'll talk about in connection with the Gemara. Does it mean that the Edim never showed up at all? Or does it mean that the Edim showed up, but only after the Talmud Shabbat Habayim? Anyway, Veniskalkul Alavim Bashir, so Levim were messed up as far as what shear to, as far as the shear, whether, as we're going to say in the Gemara, they didn't sing a shear at all, or they sang the wrong shear. So from then on, his skinu, so the chachamim of that time, made a takana, shalo yom kablon elad amincha, that we're only going to accept edus hachodesh until mincha, meaning until the time of the Talmud Shabbat Habayim. The im bo edim min amincha olamayla, if edim came any time after that, then we're going to continue to keep that day as Kodesh, and also the next day is going to be Kodesh. That's the case where we have a 2-day Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, Rashi says, when you think about it, they had to already have been keeping from the night after the 29th and the morning of the 30th, they had to be keeping as Yom Tov and not doing Malacha, in case Edim do come, because after all, most of the time Edim will come in the morning. So retroactively, then it will have been Yom Tov from the night before, therefore they would keep it as Yom Tov. Now what we're saying, and then, so usually what would happen is, Edim would come that day, and then that's fine, you have a 1-day Rosh Hashanah, only that day. Now in this case, if the Edim come before Mincha, then good, we have only 1-day Rosh Hashanah. If the Edim come only after Mincha, So now the fact is we're going to continue keeping that day as Yom Tov because we kept most of it already as Yom Tov, and we don't want to be mezalzel in it. We don't want to suddenly start keeping it as a weekday, and then the following year people are going to get careless and say, you know what, last year we kept it as Yom Tov for nothing. It turns out that it was a weekday. And so therefore, the Chachamim said that we continue keeping that whole day as Kodesh, but only tomorrow are we going to be hearing the Eidim. Only tomorrow are we going to be saying the Kodesh HaKodesh. Therefore, tomorrow is the real Yom Tov. So therefore, that's when you have a two-day Yom Tov. In effect, what happens is, in other words, you have that the first day turns out to have been the 30th of Elul, and the second day turns out to be the first of Tishrei, and the first of Tishrei is the day that's supposed to be the Yom Tov after all, but we kept the 30th day of Elul as Yom Tov as well, because we had kept most of it as Yom Tov, and we don't want people to get careless with it. Continues the Mishnah, Mishachora Beis HaMikdash, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, Shiva Kabbal, Eidus HaChodesh, Kol HaYom, then Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai made the Tachana that they can be Kabbal, Eidus HaChodesh, the whole day, because now there's no Korban and there's no Shir to mess up, so now we go back to the old way of doing things that Eidim, that we can accept Eidim the whole day long. We did learn in Beitza, though, that the Gemara said over there that even after the Yechem and Zakkai's Takana, we still say that if Edim come in a Mincho L'mayla, then we still have a two-day Yom Tov, and this is the basis of why we have a two-day Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah now, even in Eretz Yisrael and even in Yerushalayim, because even based in themselves, sometimes would have a two-day Yom Tov. And also, as we learned in the set, the Beitza, why it is that that Rosh Hashanah, we consider Yom Ha'arich, so we consider it one long day, unlike every other two-day Yom Tov, which we don't, is because the other two-day Yom Tovim is really because of Sufet, because we don't know when Beis Din was Mekadosh L'Chodesh. Here we know that Beis Din is only being Mekadosh L'Chodesh tomorrow, and still, because of the Takana of the Chachamim, in order not to be Mezalzel in it, we're saying that we keep both days as Yom Tov. So that's why we have that called, that we consider Rosh Hashanah Yom Ha'arich, which of course is relevant as far as Shech Yanu, and as far as the Beitza Shemelda, and so on and so forth. So the Gemara says, Ma kilkul kilkul alavim bashir. What was the mess up that the Levim had with their shir, with the shir shoyot? By the way, before we even get into that, Tosfos asked the question, forget about the shir shoyot. Isn't there a bigger kilkul that they never brought the korban, what are they going to do as far as the korban musa? When it comes the time of the Talmud Shabbat Abayim, they have to bring that. And after the Talmud, you don't bring any other korbanos. So therefore, if the Edim do show up after that, what are they doing as far as the korban musa? Isn't that a bigger mess up than the shir? Why aren't we mentioning that? So Tosfos discusses that and brings up two possibilities. One is that what it means is the Edim never showed up. Well, then it comes out this today was not really Rosh Chodesh at all. So the fact that they didn't bring a korban musa, fine, it wasn't Rosh Chodesh. They weren't supposed to bring a korban musa. The next day was actually Rosh Hashanah. The other possibility, Tosfos says, maybe the Edim did come after Talmud Shabbat Abayim. But Tosfos discusses at some length that maybe even though, now we have, we say in Abayah HaMasada, in morning davening, we say, Aloha Hashlem Kol HaKorbanos Kulam, with the Talmud Shabbat Abayim, all the Korbanos of the day are completed, with the exception, we learned in the Sefer Pesachim, of the Korban Pesach. But that's an esser. Tosfos says that actually when you have to, you can override that esser and bring korbanos after that. So therefore, Tosfos learns in their second explanation that yes, if the Edim did in fact show up after Mincha, after the Talmud Shabbat Abayim, they would in fact bring the korban musaf at that point, even though it's after the Talmud, and normally you don't do that. By the way, Minchas Chinuch points out an interesting point. He says, back on Dakyub Test, we said that Mimois Ezra Ve'elach Lo Matzinu Elo Ma'ober. Ever since the time of Ezra, we never find an Elo that had 30 days. So why is there this kukul anyway? Why are they messed up and they don't know what to do? Let them assume it's like most years when Elo was 29 days and Rosh Chodesh is going to be the 30th day. And the answer is because, on the other hand, you also have a chazakah that usually the Edim come. Fine, you have a chazakah that Elul is usually 29 days, but you also have a chazakah that usually the Edim come before the Talmud Shabbat Abayim. So now when they didn't, that itself weakens the chazakah. So maybe this is the exception. Maybe this year is in fact a 30-day Elul. So the Gemara asks, Ma kilkul kilkul alavim bashir? So what was the messed up with the shir? Here in Bavel, they explain that it means Shaloi Amur Shira Kol Eker. They didn't say the Shira by the Talmud Shabbat Abayim at all, because they didn't know what to say. like this. Now by the Tomat Shal Shachar, Rashi explains, they always said the Shir Shal Yom of the weekday, because again, most of the time the Edom haven't come by then. The Tomat Shal Ben Abayim, the Edom usually have come by then. So then they would usually be saying the Shira of Rosh Hashanah rather than the Shira of the day of the week. But now, since the Edom haven't come and they don't know if they're going to come, so what should they do? Should they do the Shir of the weekday, whatever weekday it was, but what if the Edom come and it turns out it was Yom Tov? And what happens, and on the other hand, if they do the one of Rosh Hashanah, what happens if the Edom don't come? So therefore, so in Bavel, they explain that the Kilkul was that they didn't sing the Shira at all. Rav Zeira Omar Shal Omar Shira Shal Cholim Tomer Shal Ben Abayim. Rav Zeira says the mess up was that they said that the Shira of the weekday together with Tomer Shal Ben Abayim, where in the end, since the Edom did show up, then they should have, then it turns out they should have said the one of Yom Tov. And in fact, Rav Zeira tells his son, Abba, Puk Tani Lahu, go out and teach them, the Chacham of Babel, who are explaining that it means they didn't say a Shira at all. That's not what it means. Teach them the following Braisa. That the Braisa says is Skinu, when they made the Takana about up till when they're going to accept Edus HaChodesh, Shaloyu Makabu Edus HaChodesh, Elokadeshiye Shos Bayer Mahakim Smidin Mosafim Nehem, they have to have enough time in the day to still bring the Korban Tomid and the Korban Musaf, or the Musaf first, that is, and the Korban Tomid, and the Nesochim of both of them, the Loima Shira Shaloy Vashibush. And the Braisa says that also they had to have enough time to say the Shira without mistakes. Now, Iyamet Mishlema Omur Shira Dechoyol. So if you say, like my explanation, Rav Zeira says, that they said the wrong Shira, Hainu Deika Shibush. Well, that's a mistake. They said the wrong Shira. Ela Iyamet like Omur Plow. But if you say they didn't say Shira at all, my Shibush, then what Shibush is that? Shibush, Pashkos implies that you're saying something, but you're saying it wrongly. So if they didn't say anything, there's no Shibush. Unless it's not necessarily. The Chacham of Babel could answer, well, if they didn't say Shira at all, and you're supposed to say Shira when the Korban is being brought, there's no bigger Shibush than that. So yeah, we could say that that's what it means, that they didn't say Shira at all. Okay. The Gemara says, Masiv Rav Acha Bahuna. Rav Acha Bahuna says, I have a contradiction from a Braisa. Tomid Shal Rosh Hashanah, when it comes to the Korban Tomid on Rosh Hashanah, Shachris Korav Kirchosai, the morning one is brought as usual, meaning again, they will be able to say the Shira of the weekday, because again, most of the time, the Edom haven't come yet by that time. And even if they did, basically haven't interrogated them, and then been Makadosh L'Chodesh yet. But Musaf, Mahu Oimah Haninu L'Lekimu Zeinu Haru L'Lekei Yaakov, by Musaf, when the Edom have already come, and basically has already been Makadosh L'Chodesh, so when they bring the Korban Musaf, they do Kapitel Pe'alot, which talks about, which is also the Shir Shal Yom of a regular Thursday. But we say it on Rosh Hashanah because it mentions Hariyu L'Elokei Yaakov, which is associated with the Trua of Rosh Hashanah. The Mincha Ma'oem, a Kol Hashem Yochel Midbar, then by Mincha, by the Tomat Shaben HaBayim, then they say also a special Shir Shal Yom for Rosh Hashanah, they say Kapitel Choftes. Because that mentions, it has in it the pasuk Chol Hashem Yochel Midbar, the voice of Hashem shakes the wilderness. That's talking about Matan Torah. And we mentioned that in Rosh Hashanah in order to evoke, in order to mention the schus of Matan Torah. In fact, we have the bracha of shofaris in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is based on the shofar of Matan Torah. Continues the Braisa. Ogizman shachal Rosh Hashanah liyas b'chamishi b'shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah comes out on Thursday, Shashir Shaloi Haninu Lo Lekimuzenu, where anyway the Shir Shal Yom is Kapitel Pei Aleph, Loi Ha Yom V'Shachos Haninu, then in the morning they don't say Haninu, but they Shachosim, a Kofal Saperet, because they'd just be repeating it. They already said it by the Tomid Shal Shachar, now they'd be saying it again by Musaf, it doesn't make sense. So instead, so they start from the middle of that capital where it starts, which is talking about that Yosef was freed from jail, because if you look back on Daf Yud Aleph, that was one of the things that took place on Rosh Hashanah, that Yosef was freed from jail. So that's all if the Edom came. So that's all if the Edom came before the Tomat Shal Shachar. And the Braisa continues, if when Rosh Hashanah is on a Thursday, the Edom came after the Tomat Shal Shachar, Oimer Haninu, then they still do say Haninu the entire capital. So now again, if they came after the Tomat Shal Shachar, so by the Tomid, they didn't know, is it going to be Rosh Hashanah or not, or Edom going to show up. So, what the vote is that, if Rosh Hashanah is on Thursday, what we said is, if the Edim come before Tomat Shal Shachar, then by the Tomat Shal Shachar, they begin Hasiraisi Misev or Shifmai. And then by Muslim, they're going to start from Hauninu and do the whole thing, because after all, it mentions Horiyu Levekei Yachid. So, the Im Bo Edim Achar Tomat Shal Shachar, but if the Edim came only after the Tomat Shal Shachar, and therefore at the time of Tomat Shal Shachar, they didn't know whether there's going to be a Musaf or not, then Omer Hauninu, then they say the whole Hauninu, the whole capital, by the Tomat Shal Shachar, after Pisha Chose of a Kovel Taperet, even if it's going to turn out that they end up being it by Musaf, because it doesn't matter right now, they don't know whether there's going to be a Musaf. Now, so thus far the Bright said. So Rav Acha Bar Huna said, well, if you say that whenever there's a suffix, we always say the shira of the weekday, like Rav Zera is saying that in the case of on Mishnah, because they didn't know whether Edim were going to come, therefore by the time of Rabbein HaBayim, they did the weekday one, then Hainud Gama Omer of the Kofod. Then that's, we understand, that's what we're saying. We're repeating the capital. So the Thursday morning, they're saying Hauninu. Later in the day, Edim come, and we say Hauninu again by Musa. Eli, Yamat Loi Omer Klal, but if you say that when there's a suffix, you don't say anything at all, and you're going to say, therefore, that in On Mishnah, because they had a suffix, like the Bnei Bavel explained, they didn't say a shira at all. My own river kofle, so what are you repeating? The answer is shiny hearts and the shira the yomi. The difference is you could say that if you have a suffix, you don't say anything at all. But in this case, when we're talking about on Thursday, anyway, Hauninu is the kapitel for Thursday. Anyway, Hauninu is the shira shoyan for Thursday. So regardless whether it was Rosh Hashanah or not, we'd still be saying that shira. So therefore, there's no reason to skip it by the Tomat Shal Shachar, just because we don't know whether later today is going to be Rosh Hashanah or not, because either way, we're going to be doing this capital sometime today. But if, let's say, for example, if let's say Rosh Hashanah was on a Tuesday, and we don't know, and it came the Tomat Shal Shachar, and we don't know what to do, whether to do the one of Rosh Hashanah or the one of Tuesday, then maybe indeed, like the Bnei Bavel said, we wouldn't say one at all, like we had in our Mishnah. So we'll learn tomorrow more. That's the shame about the Shir Shol Yom, and then have a lot of Agante in that connection. That's the shame.